When we allow God's word to fill us in a sense, when we are controlled by the full knowledge of his will, think about that. In every circumstance, if God's word and his will is controlling my thinking, I'm going to act differently. It's not perfectly, but that's what we desire to do. And if that happens, one of the evidences will be bearing fruit in every good work.
Thanks for joining us for this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we complete our detour from our study in Colossians chapter 2 as we finish our look at our Lord's warnings in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20.
Yes, Dave, we will. And these warnings that we're going to see today are from our Lord himself. They are for our protection because the threats to our faith are out there and they are real. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we're looking at verses 15 to 20.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Actually, let's turn it, because this is pretty clear. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll start with verse 3. This will show their motivation. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, there's the fruit of that, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, listen to this, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. They think that being godly is a means of getting money, it's a means of gaining. We know in 2 Peter and Jude very clearly that these hold a form of godliness, but yet they've rejected the truth. We know 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, in their greed they will exploit you with false words. We know they have eyes full of adultery and that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having hearts trained in greed. That's what's going on. Like Balaam, they love the wages of unrighteousness. They've got an internal greed that drives them to deceive the flock. We can't see that, but it's there. And it manifests even in a desire to have followers, to have spiritual followers. Acts chapter 20, Paul would say, I know after my departure, verse 29, that savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. They're greedy. They're greedy for the gain, the fleshly gain through women, whatever it might be. They're greedy for the gain of money. They're greedy for the gain of being looked up to and seen in a certain way. That's what's going on. These are vile men and women who appear on the outside to be shepherds of Christ. They promise freedom in Christ, but they themselves are slaves to sin. See that in 2 Peter. Outwardly, they look like God's shepherds, but inwardly, they're incredibly wicked. So the Lord Jesus says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Just say, okay, I recognize that. I want to beware of it. I do. But how can I spot them? I can't see the insides. I can't see their greed. I can't see that. How do I spot them? Well, Jesus reveals that their deeds will make them known. Verse 16, back in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 16. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Jesus just says, this is the way it is. He says, you'll know them by their fruits, verse 16, and he repeats that. He repeats that in verse 20. So then you will know them by their fruits. He gives the illustration. And this term know, epinosis, speaks of a full true knowledge. You'll get it. You'll get it. You'll know them by their fruits. Their fruit will reveal who they really are. You'll know it. And if you're on guard, then you are to turn away from them. And so he gives this illustration. He says, grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, are they? When's the last time you went to go get fruit from a thorn bush? It's not going to happen, right? You look at that, it's not a grapevine, right? And he says, nor are figs gathered from thistles, are they? The term thistle, or thorn bushes, spoke of prickly weeds. Thistles spoke of a three-pronged deal that was really painful. The implication is these false teachers are like that. They are thorny weeds. They are prickly briars. So he gives this principle that one's fruit will reflect one's true nature. We have the analogy from his creation. Good trees bear good fruit, bad trees bear bad fruit. Then he gives the absolute reality that you can bank on and will enable you to spot them. A good tree cannot, verse 18, produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. It is impossible for a good tree to produce bad fruit and for a bad tree to produce good fruit. The fruit depends upon the true nature of the tree. You see, all throughout Scripture, we see this principle that not only applies to false prophets, but to false believers. Indeed, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has already made it clear that those who are truly of his kingdom will manifest the nature of the king. He's made that clear. Blessed are those. Blessed are those. Those are true kingdom citizens. They're going to manifest the nature of the king. Now, this idea of fruit bearing is not hard to understand. But let's take a look at a passage that's really helpful for us. John 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. That's an example, right? But it's speaking of believers, you know, and then those who may claim to be but aren't. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. It's resting in Jesus, trusting in Jesus. That's the only way to bear fruit, as we'll see, is to trust in the Lord Jesus, to rely on him completely. We saw this last week. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. You received him by total faith. You didn't doubt at all. When you actually got saved, you actually believed that he was God and he would save you. You believed that. In the same way, we walk day to day by faith, and that will produce fruit in us. He says here, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The implication is whoever you are, if it's God's shepherds, if they abide in Jesus, they're going to produce fruit. Each and every one of us, if we abide in Jesus, we're going to produce fruit. It's going to be the nature of our Savior manifest. Not perfectly. Not perfectly. We know that. We trip up. We mess up. We know that. We know that oh so well, more than anyone else, right? But by and large, we should be producing good fruit. Now, Jesus shares this parallel teaching in Luke chapter 6. Turn there also. Because it helps us explain what this fruit really is. Luke chapter 6, verse 42. Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take out the log out of your eye, then you'll see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. Verse 43, for there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. Luke 6:44, for each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, do they pick grapes from a briar bush? The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you whom he is like. And he gives the example of the one who builds his house, you know, on the rock versus the sand. He's talking about the fruit of this are people who hear his word and do it. That's the good fruit. They hear the word of God and do it. God's word equips us for every good work. It addresses everything for life and godliness. And when God is working in us through his word, it's going to produce good fruit. It's going to produce good fruit. You see, good fruit is manifest in the true believer when he abides in Christ and obeys his word. Let me share a couple passages. Galatians 5:22. We see the deeds of the flesh are evident, but the fruit of the Spirit is, right? That fruit that's manifest of the Spirit of God working in us. In Ephesians 5, we're to be walking as children of light, and the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, the fruit of righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, and we've seen this, when we allow God's word to fill us in a sense, when we are controlled by the full knowledge of his will. Think about that. In every circumstance, if God's word and his will is controlling my thinking, I'm going to act differently. It's not perfectly, but that's what we desire to do. And if that happens, one of the evidences will be bearing fruit in every good work. Colossians 1:10. We've been created for good works that we would walk in them. Ephesians 2. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. Every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. A bad tree cannot produce good fruit. He's saying you can spot the false shepherds by their fruit. Now, the same goes for believers, but he's not saying warning, go out and expect everyone's life. I'm not saying that. He's just talking about false teachers, false apostles, or false prophets, as he says here. Now, we need to remember that sometimes fruit, good or bad, takes time to come. Sometimes that fruit doesn't show up for a while. If you're a true believer, you're going to have good fruit. It may be slow to come, but it's going to come. And these false teachers, their bad fruit may not show up right away, but it will show up. Galatians 5:19 again, the deeds of the flesh are evident. That's fruit. It's fruit, as we'll say. Ephesians chapter 5, we see the reality that we were darkness, we're to walk in the light. And the fruit of the light is not evil and sin. So with this in mind, let's take a look at some of the bad fruit Scripture reveals that we can spot in the false teachers. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, just back a little bit. These are things you can spot in false teachers, bad fruit that you could go, whoa, that's bad. Turn away. We see this in the Sermon on the Mount, that the hypocrites practice their religion to be seen by man. That's bad fruit. Matthew 6, beware of practicing your righteousness to be noticed by them. When therefore you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may be honored by men. Down to verse 5. And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. That was verse 5 of Matthew 6. Paul would say in Galatians chapter 1, if I wanted the approval of men, I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. It is antithetical to serving Christ, to want people to elevate you up. When you see that, that is bad fruit, turn away from it. When you see it, it bothers me. I see people at these websites, some ministries, their pictures everywhere and everywhere. I don't know their hearts, but Christ should be exalted. We need to be careful who gets the glory, who is exalted. We see this, a lot of slick, showy sermons rather than the preaching of the Word of God. If we share, we're to speak the very oracles of God. 1 Peter 4:11. We're to preach the word in season and out of season. That's the right kind of fruit, by the way. But these guys are disobedient. They try to please men all at the same time, saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this? You can spot them also because they share their own worldly wisdom rather than God's word. God's word exposes that. They're continually disobedient in not sharing the word of God. That's fruit. Remember Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? If a shepherd is told by the Lord Jesus to preach the word in season, is told to reprove and rebuke and exhort, is told to share the word of God, is told to do so and doesn't do so, that is fruit. That is fruit. Jeremiah 23, then they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil ways and the evil of their deeds. Ezekiel 34 talks about those shepherds. Woe to them who feed themselves and do not feed the flock. Should not the shepherds be feeding the flock? That's the word of God. The reality is, you can spot them by their fruit. Their deeds are going to reveal it. Their actions are going to show you whether they're obedient to the Lord or not. They're going to show you their deeds. But also, we're going to see that their words do so too. They are clouds without water. They don't reprove and rebuke and exhort. They don't address sin. You'll know them by their fruit. You know them by their fruit. They're bad trees, therefore they produce bad fruit. Their deeds in ministry reveal they are disobedient to the Lord. No matter how much they say they love Jesus, are they obeying the Lord and how he's called them to do? They say, Lord, Lord, but they also say other things. They introduce destructive heresies. 2 Peter chapter 2. In their greed, they will exploit you with false words. There's more fruit. You're going to see it in their words also, besides their deeds, in their words. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about the bad guys and how they distort the passages that are hard to understand. 2 Peter 3:15, in regard to patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, and also in all his letters, speaking of things which some which are hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, you fall from your own steadfastness. They twist the word of God. They distort it. They lessen it. Worthless shepherds don't feed the flock. Worthless shepherds twist the word of God. Worthless shepherds exploit you with false words in their greed. You can know them and see them by their fruit. What does Paul tell Titus about those who are teaching things they should not teach? He tells them to silence them. Titus chapter 1, verse 10, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers, especially those of circumcision, who must be silenced because they're upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for sword. Again, you can spot that. Verse 16, they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him. You can see it. By their deeds. They say they know the Lord, but their deeds reveal they are disobedient in bringing forth the word of God, and they are evil in twisting, lessening, or fabricating the word of God. This term in 1 Peter 2, they'll exploit you, is the word plastos. We get our word plastic. They mold the words to exploit you. They turn the grace of God into licentiousness. As we'll see next week, Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. They'll speak perverse things. And I could just go on and on and on. There's all kinds of examples in Scripture. So what the Lord is saying, you can spot them. You can spot them. They are bad trees that produce bad fruit. It's that simple. Good trees produce good fruit. Bad trees produce bad fruit. And also, one last area you can spot them in, and that's their converts. The fruit of ministry of false prophets is false converts. We see this in Matthew. If you look at, again, Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, so then you'll know them by their fruits, and then notice the next word. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we cast out demons, perform many miracles in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Same thing in Luke chapter 6, where he talks about the tree will be known by its own fruit. And then he immediately says, and why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts upon them, I will show you what he is like. So again, these false teachers have a bunch of converts that don't obey Christ. They don't obey the word of God. That's the fruit. Lastly, notice these bad guys are destined for eternal fire. Look at verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. It's an illustration. We saw this illustration earlier in Matthew chapter 3. Let's turn there, one last passage to turn to, Matthew chapter 3. And this is what John the Baptist said to the Pharisees when he saw him coming. Matthew 3, verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise these stones to raise up children to Abraham. It's basically saying, don't say that does it for you, You have Abraham. He says the axe is already laid at the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Every tree that does not bear good fruit. It's talking about people. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will thoroughly clear his threshing floor. He will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The bad guys are going to be thrown into the fire. We see that in 2 Peter. There's very clearly destruction ahead of them. It's prepared for them. So every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Every tree. Every tree. So let me ask you this. Do you bear good or bad fruit? Yes, we all mess up. If we say we have no sin, we're liars. But by and large, if you are of Christ, you're going to bear fruit sometime. When you abide in him, his character is going to be manifest. Is it manifest in your life? You're bearing good fruit. And if you are bearing bad fruit continually, habitually, all the time, maybe the Lord's trying to tell you something where you stand. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? To finish up, verse 20, he says, so then you will know them by their fruits. Today we've seen that Jesus warns us of the dangers of entrance into his kingdom and the dangers for those on the narrow road. We are to take heed to turn from that, and we can spot them by their fruit. Let me ask you today, are you in a church where the pastor's fruit stinks? Where he doesn't preach the word, where he substitutes stories, theology, and his own wisdom for the word of God? Where he doesn't rightly reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction, where he doesn't address sin, where there's rampant disobedience in the church, that's bad fruit. They may say they love Jesus, and of course he wants to evangelize, but that's a fake, phony shepherd suit. Are you in a church where the pastor has introduced destructive heresies such as the shack and purpose-driven life, things like that? That's fruit. It's bad fruit. We need to turn away. Okay, so how does this apply to us? Obviously, we need to heed the warning. Secondly, if you claim to know Jesus and you have no fruit, zero fruit, there's never been the manifestation of Christ in your life, ever. It's never been manifest, and I would ask you to examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. You'll know a tree by its fruit. True repentance and faith in Christ will manifest in a changed life. And shepherds especially will be obeying the Lord in good spots.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, after studying our Lord's warning concerning false prophets in our message today, you ask the question, are you in a church in which pastor's fruit stinks? Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, I can, Dave. Very simply, does your pastor obey the Lord by preaching his word in season and out of season, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting with great patience and instruction? Or is your pastor one who substitutes stories or theology or his own wisdom for the word, or doesn't rightly address sin? You see, folks, that's bad fruit. And if this is the case, I'd suggest you prayerfully look for another church where the pastor's fruit manifests the character of Christ and obedience to his word.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.